Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, Connor Newt here with you. We are live at First Horizon Park, where the Nashville Sounds take on Lowell. At First Horizon Park, as I just said, first pitch is at 6:35 p.m. You can catch all of the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Social Cantina. And I saw a note today from our friends at Nashville Severe Weather. This is the first time in 4 years we've hit triple digits in September. Summer can go straight to hell. I'm just going to say it. Summer can go straight to hell.
And summer, why are you tripping on summer, man?
Do you like this weather?
I mean, listen, I understand that it has to be. Not necessarily has to be, but I understand this time of year, you're going to get your hot moments. I understand that. But I don't, it's like.
There is something unnatural about 100-degree heat in September.
Well, your body can take it.
I don't know if my body can take it. You are a finely tuned professional athlete. Your body may be able to take it. My doughy ass may not be able to take it.
I'm melting. I only said that because you called yourself doughy.
I did.
It is oppressive.
It's warm out there. Yeah. I tell y'all that.
What D-Mace came in talking about El Nino. I didn't know all the things behind it. You've been watching the Weather Channel?
Because whether you believe in global warming or not, that's your thing. I do believe in it.
I think it's pretty obvious.
Exactly.
What is the temperature
exactly? But they say we are now in an event we've never experienced before, which means, and I'm no meteorologist, I'm repeating what they have said, not verbatim, but that the oceans are heating up, and it will last until, I think, February of next year. Not to say that it's going to be hot everywhere, but the temperatures are going to be unstable in a sense. More storms, which affects a lot of people. I think they have a few storms that are developing right off the coast of Hawaii over in that area. So what they're saying is the temperatures are rising and it's heating up the water, which is going to cause storms and which is going to cause, you know, unpredictable weather occurrences that happen. But I think they said it was the triple El Nino. I said, we went from El Nino to the double El Nino, now to the triple El Nino.
I think I skipped the double. I didn't even know if there was
the double. Yeah, the double just came past and went.
It was a stand-up triple. It kept right on going from second base.
Our friend Dustin in Hopkinsville says on our text line, Adam is now Olaf from Frozen, the little snowman. I'll take it. I hope everybody out there is staying cool. Mitch Light of The Athletic will join the program at 4:20. We'll get into some college football with him. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com will join us at 5:20 as we discuss the local professional football team. We'll also continue our discussion of the Predators trade of Luke Evangelista from a couple of nights ago. We'll discuss where the Predators go in the short term now that Evangelista is no longer a member of the organization. But we'll begin today's show this way. We all know what the biggest story in town has been over the past couple of days.
Luke Evangelista.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, but also
Pretty Boy Evangelista.
Pretty Boy Vincenzo.
See, I made a mistake the other day. I called him Pretty Boy Vange, not Pretty Boy Vincenzo, and I know there were some Predators fans out there who thought I lost all of my street cred by confusing his nickname. So Pretty Boy Vincenzo. That is an important story, but we all know what the story everybody is talking about.
No, I don't believe everybody's talking about it, honestly.
You don't think so?
Giving it too much life, yeah.
Well, either way.
It is a story.
It is a story.
A very legit story.
It is. So, of course, it is the topic du jour around town. And yesterday, I was driving home from dropping off my kids at preschool, and I was listening to our friends Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow. Chad Withrow, by the way, will join our show tomorrow at 4, as he does every Friday at 4. I was listening to them have a discussion about this topic, and there was something that our friend Hutton said that grabbed my attention on my drive home. Here was Jonathan Hutton with Chad Withrow yesterday on their program.
And I was told that it was Robert Saleh that walked in and told the beat writers that this was happening right before the general manager spoke. So, if it was Robert Saleh, then Robert Saleh is not learning from his past mistakes in New York. Now, I don't know if he's the one that came down with it, but he's the one that informed the rest of the media corps about it. That's what I'm told.
He came down and told the media corps that they were revoking Jared Stillman's credential?
That's what I'm told. Yes, Chad. That's what I'm told.
As like a warning shot.
Not a warning shot. No. Don't twist what I'm saying. And not a warning shot. He's just the one that informed everyone before Jared Stillman could get it out.
So that was Jonathan Hutton yesterday. Joe Rexroth has also mentioned this a couple of times on the morning show, that Robert Saleh delivered the news to the rest of the Titans reporting group that our friend from Forest Hills no longer has access to news conferences and practices. And the reason why that detail has caught my attention is because, as Hutton alluded to in that clip, one thing that haunted Robert Saleh during his tenure as Jets head coach, and by his own admission, haunted him. And we will play a clip later in the show of Robert Saleh saying just that recently. But the thing that haunted Saleh was he was too hyper-focused on outside noise and criticism. So we do not know if Robert Saleh had anything to do with the decision. It would be reckless to speculate. But the fact that he was even present to deliver the news concerns me a little bit, Willie, because of what we have discussed about his history in New York, him being too hyper-focused on what people are saying about his team.
Yes, my first thought was like, is Robert Saleh working in the communications department, in the media relations department? Is he like double... He's got two roles for him. I'm still very puzzled. So that is what I think I've found myself being more fascinated with, is not what they did, because I think they had grounds to do it, but how they went about it has exposed the Titans, I think, as just a very, very flawed, not having their ducks in a row, details down, how you do something like that. And I cannot believe that Robert Saleh would have said, yeah, sure, I'll go down and tell the guys and gals that that's what's going on. Like, why in the world, especially based on what you said, would he have anything to do with delivering the message? That doesn't make any sense to me. That's a media relations department. That's who should have delivered the message. But they screwed this thing up from the very, very start and gave it way more life. Would you call it the Barbra Streisand? They took the playbook from the Barbara Streisand.
The Streisand effect.
The Streisand effect. Looked through all the details and said, how do we execute a great Barbara? That's what they did.
In case you do not know what Willie is referring to, the Streisand effect, named after Barbara Streisand.
Barbara.
Yes, I tried to do that. The Streisand effect.
Coffee talk with Linda Richmond.
Is the phenomenon in which an attempt to hide, remove, or censor information results in the unintended consequence of the effort, instead increasing public awareness of the information. A textbook example of that in this situation. But, Derek, we know that there is a big game looming next Sunday, and it's weird to say a game between the New York Jets and the Tennessee Titans is a big game, because these two franchises have been two of the worst franchises in the NFL in recent years. But with Saleh coaching against his former team, a lot of pressure on Cam Ward to get off to a good start in year two. We talked about this as soon as the schedule came out, that it's not a must-win game, because look, there's no such thing as a must-win game in week one, but it's a you better damn win this game. And now that you have this bigger distraction, just the idea that Saleh apparently was at least present for the reveal of this information concerns me a little bit, that perhaps things aren't as focused on the task at hand as they should be.
I couldn't imagine after what he went through the first time in New York and then, you know, coming out and being honest about a lot of that stuff, that then he would go and do that again on his own volition. I don't think he would do that. I think, you know, when you become a coach in this league, especially a head coach, and you strive, you know, to be a head coach again once you lose your job, the thing you want to do is the things you did wrong there, you want to try to correct them at the next spot because you convince the people to hire you that you will not make those same mistakes. So with that being said, I just can't imagine him making that same mistake. But everyone's getting on him and acting as if he's the person. Now, if you come find out that he is the one that ordered the cold red, then okay. We can have that conversation. But I think the bigger conversation is, you know, where did it come from? Because either way, this is – as much as I love this organization, that some of the things that they have done has given the optics of not knowing what you're doing. I don't know if that's the case, but the optics to the fans is they don't know what they're doing. When you fire your GM a few years ago and then you have your head coach talk on it, that's what people look at. You know, stuff like that. Like, why is the head coach being put in a position to speak on a GM that he didn't fire? You know, he had no control over firing him. So when this happened, why is everybody getting on the coach? He works for the people above him, whoever, and I'm not saying it's the owner that gave, whoever gave this, whoever said, if it's Saleh, I would be highly disappointed considering what happened in New York. I would be highly disappointed. But if it didn't come from him, you work for them, what are you going to do? Everybody acting as if, oh, they would say, I wouldn't say nothing, but knowing what they went. But it's up to those above him to explain, hey, listen. He needs to explain it. Somebody needs to explain. You understand what happened in New York and how this makes Saleh look. So either it was a Saleh push thing, with which if it was, then shame on him. But if it wasn't something he's pushing, because, he's getting prepared for a game. I can't see him worried about all that other stuff.
He's got a million things that are more important than that. But the other part of it is, number one, if I were the head coach, whether it's him and I had the background that he had with the New York history and the first game is against the Jets,
yeah,
you know, something's got to go off in his brain to say, look, you may want me to go down there and deliver this. I'm not doing it. I've got to prepare my team for the game. I'm not getting involved in that. But even if he wanted to do it, somebody in the communication and media relations staff is going to say, whoa, this is a bad look. Let us do our job. This is a media relations question. And you stay in your office. I don't want you anywhere near this. That the fact that neither one of those things happened is flabbergasting to me. Just off the charts. I cannot believe it. And I think if I understand this right, this was before the Borgonzi press conference, and it was meant to be sort of a, I don't know, off the record kind of thing. It seemed like, I don't know. Like, how did they think they were going to keep this?
Listen, I don't know how they did it. Or why they thought that was going to be the case. But this is the story because they're protecting one person and one person only. It's the quarterback. They have no – and I'm not saying that they're wrong to not protect their quarterback because this is the number one asset in your organization. So if you feel this is what you need to do, okay, but the backlash to it is what is going on now. But this is all about Cam Ward. And not to say that Cam wouldn't say anything, but when you have a young quarterback, and you're trying – now a new regime is coming in, and you're trying to sort of develop this quarterback. And every head coach do it, every GM, they protect their quarterbacks. Now, I'm not sure if many have went this far to protect the quarterback. Cam doesn't need protecting.
I agree.
He doesn't. He's shown you that he's going to stand up and stand up tall and take responsibility. And for those that are saying he needs to be – he hold himself accountable, damn it. So who are you to tell him or anybody else that, oh, he needs to be – he hold himself accountable. That's why he gets up there every day and answers the question, whether it be from Jared Stillman or anybody else, Paul Kaharsky, any one of these guys or gals. He stands up. So the organization doesn't need to protect him from the media. They made to protect him from something else, other things, but the media, they are not there to protect him in that fashion. But they are. And listen, I don't blame them, because if I'm an owner, I may have had a talk with the person, because again, when things come off as personal, I think that's when people start to get a little antsy. When they believe, oh, it's more than just this. It's something personal. So now people start to try to figure out, why is it personal? And sometimes they don't want to. They just cut you off. And that's what the Titans have done. Is it right? Hell no, it's not right.
Well, and I agree with you 100%. Cam Ward doesn't need to be protected. I don't know the inner workings of it. My observation is, I think they had grounds to address this in some way. Revoking somebody's credential is the last resort, an extreme action. But
it makes Saleh look bad.
So I think they had grounds. If you go through all that, and we discussed it a little bit the other day, I don't want to get into that part of it, but that is what they have not thought through at all, and they have botched every aspect of going down this road, and obviously didn't think it through on any level. If you have your head coach doing that, it makes no sense.
If I'm putting myself in Robert Saleh's shoes in this situation, part of me feels like maybe Saleh knows his reputation and wanted to go down there and nip it in the bud immediately. Like, hey guys, I know what's been said about me, what I've said about my time in New York. I'm not on some sort of witch hunt here. I want to assure you that's why I'm here, to be part of this or to explain it to you. That's one idea. The other idea is, if I'm Robert Saleh at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to be anywhere near this because of what has been said about me and what I've admitted about my time in New York. I don't want to be anywhere near this. I don't want to give even the faintest impression that I had anything to do with this. So I don't know why I'm involved.
I think that's a good point. Also, I have been coming from it from this angle. If this was really about a couple of questions at the podium, then it's even worse than I thought. I think the grounds of taking somebody's credential should have nothing to do with a couple of questions asked at a podium. Mm-hmm. It's a pattern of behavior of professionalism over a long period of time. To me, that's where the discussion should be, not, hey, our people can't handle tough questions. That's the most absurd thing. They've been handling tough questions for years.
But that's what the narrative is, and the narrative is pointed toward Robert Saleh.
And whose fault is that? The Titans, because they allowed that narrative to get out by doing it this way.
615.
Instead of making themselves clear on what the issues were.
615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction to the news of the week. Coming up next, we will play a clip from Robert Saleh himself explaining something that he wants to do differently here in Nashville than he did in New York, and why we're wondering if it's already sort of gone astray. 615-737-1025. Catch the Metro High School Football Game of the Week every Friday at 7 p.m. on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. Tomorrow night's game will feature Stratford against Lawson. Before and after the game, Big Joe and our very own Connor Newt will have complete high school football coverage with the Game Blitz, powered by Southeast Financial Credit Union.
The big learning experience for me is that it doesn't matter how hard you try. And it's not to say that I'm just going to be an ass or whatever you want to say. It's and still help the local media do their job the best I can. But, you know, chasing narrative and trying to control narrative and trying to, you know, I tried really hard, way harder than I should have, to control the narrative of the football team, when the reality is, you could be Vince Lombardi, and if you're losing, you're a loser. Period. You can win every game and walk around in your underwear and you're a genius. It doesn't matter. Winning and losing is going to dictate the narrative. None of it's true. It's all a game. It's all narrative. And the most important thing is us. It's us in the locker room. It's our daily process. It's believing in one another. It's trusting in one another. And let's be real, like, the noise is out there. People are going to recognize the noise, see the noise. You just have to learn to you grow and you learn and you understand that at the end of the day, it's all fake. Because if you win, the story flips, you know, and, you know, you focus on what you can do better. You focus on how you can help your team be better. You focus on messaging with your team. And if you keep it at that, and you keep it inward, you'll be just fine.
That was Robert Saleh recently with ESPN's Peter Schrager talking about lessons from his time in New York that he hopes to carry to Nashville.
And just did the exact opposite.
I remember hearing that clip.
100% opposite move.
I remember hearing that clip. Sorry, Derek. I remember hearing that clip when that podcast came out. And then this morning I was like, wait a minute. I feel like I've heard him talk about this. Then you just heard it. It's the complete opposite of what's happening right now, apparently.
I'm baffled.
Which tells me that because, listen, let's not kid ourselves here. There are other people ask tough questions. Everybody,
yes.
There are a lot of reporters and beat writers, journalists that cover the team that ask tough questions. It's a given, and they've experienced that. That's why this is more than that.
I don't know, more than that.
This is not about a tough question, people. This is about a perceived. I'm not saying that it is or it isn't. It's them. They are perceiving it to be. And, you know, the parties, in, you know, that are affiliated with this, they can think that or not. But they perceive this as being personal. They don't perceive this as just being your regular, I'm being critical of the team because the team's doing bad. This is a perceived sort of vendetta. And I'm not sure because people are trying to make it off as if it's tough questions. Well, damn it, are y'all asking? So what y'all saying to me is y'all not asking tough questions? Because if y'all think this is just one guy's tough question, then that tells me y'all are not asking tough questions, okay. Basically. Well, so that tells me it's not about that. And again, it was wrong for them. I believe it was wrong for them to do regardless. But this is just not about a tough perceived question. This is about them perceiving it as being personal. And when it becomes personal, people look at it different. They restrict access to people they feel don't
right, because
respect
it's
access
unprofessional
that I'm
at that point.
Yeah, so however you – that's just the way I look at it.
This is why we're bringing this up and playing that clip from Robert Saleh from Peter Schrager's podcast. Our friend Jonathan Hutton, our very own Joe Rexroth, and others have mentioned that it was Robert Saleh who – explained the Titans' decision to revoke our friend's credentials. And the reason why I feel a little bit concerned about that specific detail is because of, as you just heard Robert Saleh say himself, he spent too much time in New York worried about the narrative. Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic, we had him on the show shortly after the Titans hired Saleh. He covered Saleh in New York. I went back and found a story he wrote from earlier this year about lessons Saleh learned or he learned from his Jets tenure. Here's part of what Rosenblatt wrote. Quote, Saleh was known to privately bemoan criticism he was getting considering his quarterback situation, particularly in 2023 when he went from Aaron Rodgers to Zach Wilson to Tim Boyle to Trevor Siemian. He was absorbed with controlling narratives while working for an owner who often brought what fans and media were saying as a way to question Saleh's decision-making and eventually obsessed with finding leaks in the building.
And I thought he spoke with some good wisdom in that clip that we played, as if he had really learned that there's nothing you can do, especially in that market.
Yes.
You cannot win that battle. But let's put it this way when it comes to if you think it's about a tough question or a couple tough questions at the podium, does – Paul Kuharsky asks tough questions?
He does.
Has he for 30 years, as long as the team, or you know, as long as the team has been here? I forget the exact number.
Absolutely.
But he goes back to when the team was in Memphis. He has been, and I'll give you the answer, yes. He asks a lot of tough questions. And I will say that neither he or any of the other, what do you think the number of people who cover the Titans that are credentialed? 30, 40, and then probably a group of, say, 10 or 15 that are there basically every day, Teron and everybody. I don't think any other individual, even after this happened, thinks they're going to lose their credential. So that ought to tell you it's not about the questions being asked. Mm-hmm. It's not about one or two questions at the podium. It's a bigger picture than that. So that is what's really going on. But you wouldn't know that based on how the Titans have handled it because they screwed it up. And there's no way your coach should be anywhere close to where he's been with this because it's a bad look. And they have thrown him into the fire.
And that,
he chose he should take a little responsibility. He's like, he didn't think that through at all after being in the New York media for 4 years?
I just, again, if this is something that, you know, on one hand, you sort of commend him because it's like, okay, you're the leader of the team, so you need to, you know, I want to be the one that takes this information. Give me the gauntlet. I'll take it to the media, to people, and tell them what's going on. I get that's honorable. I understand it. But there's a difference between honorable and then putting yourself in a position where you're going to take whatever blame there is, it's now pointed squarely at you. And that's what it is. Everybody's talking now about, Saleh, you've been through this before and you step right back in it. How can you do that when it may be something completely different?
One person says, this team and organization need the season to start so badly, it's nuts. Agreed.
Agreed.
One person says, fans care more about wins and losses. And I understand that. There's a lot of, how should I put this? Media navel gazing going on.
Yes.
over the past couple of days.
That's a great point, and I think sometimes it's more interesting to us in the media than it is to the general listener. I would hope that's the case.
We totally understand that. Yes. Why I'm bringing this up is, as you just heard Robert Saleh say in his own words, not too long ago. I don't remember when that podcast episode was with Peter Schrager. I want to say it was within the past month. You heard Saleh say right there in his own words, I don't want to be as fixated on the narrative as I was in New York. It was a problem he ran into by his own admission. You are hoping that the head coach of the football team is more concerned about wins and losses. And when the head coach of the football team is present and or explaining the decision about someone's credentials getting revoked, it leads to questions about, is the coach focused enough on wins and losses? So that's why how we're tying this all together. I get it. I love a good media story. I'm already sick about this story or sick of this story. I was sick about it at first because I didn't agree with it. Now I'm sick of it. So I completely understand. But the coach's presence in this, considering his history, is something to at least acknowledge. Let's go to our phone line. Driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Gorilla. Gorilla, thank you for calling and waiting. Please go ahead.
What's going on with you, fellas? How y'all making it today?
We're good.
Good. We're hot, but we're good.
Hey, man, check this out. It's been personal with Jared. I watched Jared. Actually, guys, and I'm just going to be totally honest with you. I asked him one time, is it because he's black? Right? Now, mind you, I'm not a fan of black quarterbacks. I don't like scrambling quarterbacks. I like big head generals like Peyton Manning. So it was always personal. I was asking myself, how did he even have credentials? Didn't you guys cut him from the station?
Gorilla, thank you for the call. Gorilla, thank you for the call. I understand the questions. That's above my pay grade.
Let me say this because I don't want this to be some type of narrative. The Jared that I know, and I think all of us know and have spent time with, that's not him.
Agreed.
That is that
100%.
That I'm going to stop it right there. Okay. Yeah. Anybody else, they can do whatever else they want to until something else happens. The Jared that I've spent time with, that I've gotten to know, that narrative isn't him.
He
may just don't like Cam for whatever reason. But he's gotten on black players, white players.
Oh, yeah. He's an equal opportunity.
Yeah, equal opportunist. Head
people
coaches.
From Mars.
Yeah,
people
he doesn't
from
care.
Venus.
So I don't want that narrative, Gorilla. And we thank you for calling in, and we appreciate you calling every time. But I don't want that narrative to seep in and start to sort of poison the water
that's
out
unfair.
There.
That's unfair to Jared. Yeah.
That's unfair to the Titans. That's unfair to Cam Ward. So let's not. Do I think he makes it personal sometimes? Yes, but I don't think he does that because how someone looks or the color of their skin. I just think that's how he chooses to do it. Again, I don't agree with it, but that's how He does it. And I don't think the Titans, I hope the Titans don't feel that Jarrett is coming at Cam because of something that is sort of perceived based upon his, you know, the color of his skin. I'm sure the Titans don't think that.
Yeah, I echo all of those sentiments. One texter says, after this debacle, can you imagine if the Jets beat us? Well, I've seen this floating around.
It's not hard to imagine.
No, it's not. I've seen this floating around.
Hold on. I just thought about something. Gorilla, I got a bone to pick with your ass. You just sat here and you said, please, I need to know where this came from, because now it does sort of enter into that realm. You said you don't like black quarterbacks. What in the hell kind of statement is that? Maybe you were nervous. I give you, I give you grace with that. But no, I'm not going to let that slide neither. And I apologize to everybody that's listening to this. And I apologize to Bud and Chase. But that right there, I'm not going to let that slide. I'm not. That is not going to happen on our radio station, on this show. Okay? That and the narrative of Cam Ward, he doesn't like him because he's black. No, we're not going to have that. But that, what you said, that wasn't cool, bro. It really wasn't cool, man. So I just needed to get there. I'm sorry, fellas.
No, it's
I'm
fair.
Sorry. But it,
very
it just
stereotypical.
Hit me, and I'm like, what in the hell did he just say?
I think he was trying to make light.
I think he was nervous.
But
again,
you can't say that. Yeah. Out of bounds.
But I'm sorry. Go ahead. I digress. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was saying the texter after this debacle, can you imagine if the Titans lose to the Jets? Well, as Willie said, it's not hard to imagine, and I've seen this floating around.
What's the line on the game? I don't think the Titans are favored by 18.
Hold on. Let me check.
Hold on. 6 points, I would say. Six.
Right. I bet it's less than six.
The Titans are favored by 1.5.
Damn. There you go.
And the NFL put out its game previews, and 8 of 10 experts from NFL.com or NFL Network picked the Jets to beat the Titans. 8 of 10. Here are some of the scores.
So wait, is the wrong team favored? If that's like,
here are some of the scores of the Jets winning: 17-12, 12-9. Oh my God, 12-9. Please no. Please not 12-9.
12-9.
Not 12-9.
Well, my man,
we're talking
Sly,
zero
okay.
touchdown.
My man Sly, get his kicks in.
Yeah, the 12, the field goal number. He's on to something. That may not be wrong.
Here are the game preview picks for Jets Titans according to NFL.com and NFL Network. Jets 17-12, Jets 12-9, Titans 20-17, Jets 2019, Jets 14-13, Titans 13-10, Jets 10-7, Jets 26-20, Jets 26-23.
Oh, a barn burner, 26-23.
Right, Jets 19-15, Jets 21-20.
19-15?
I swear to God, if it's 12-9.
Who thinks it's
12-9 and a 10-7?
I swear. I just hope for a scorigami. I'm going to have to pull up scorigami. For those
eligible
yes, for those who aren't familiar with scorigami, it tracks unique scores in NFL games. So if the Jets Titans game ends in a scorigami, that will be.
Would that 19-15 be a scorigami?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that there's probably been a 19-15.
I will look that up during the break. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on this. Plus, the Raiders are doing something that hasn't been done in nearly a decade at the quarterback position. We will discuss coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Dondick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you.
Y'all can pick
DVD
up the theme, right?
On 102.5,
theme is loud
the game.
Theme is loud and clear,
It's about the heat.
Absolutely.
This was the LeBron James heat.
Yes.
When he was with that, they played this during, like, they go on a run. The other team gets a timeout. They blast this song.
Do you know what movie this is from?
This is this is Beverly Hills Cop. Was it,
I think,
one
number
or
two?
It's
two?
One. Good job.
It's one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good job, Derek.
There we go.
Good job, Derek. By the way, to answer the question that I attempted to answer during the break, 19-15 would not be a scorigami.
Dang it.
That has happened in the NFL, but 18-9 hasn't happened. So whatever the score, Jets, Titans, I want it to be 18-9. At least make it a scorigami. So we had fun with that during the break. Let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Jared in Spring Hill. Jared, thank you for calling and waiting. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and man, stay hydrated out there, people.
Mm-hmm. We're trying.
But, I kind of got a couple questions here, just mostly kind of dealing with, I don't know, the question from Stillman and how Ward responded. But we know after every game that every player goes up there and has to face the scrutiny. And again, the expectation is that we, us as fans, like the accountability aspect. And that's kind of like, you know, the status quo. And we see, like, we saw Jeffrey Simmons last year go up there to the podium after every game, and he had the breakout season he had, you know, and you can't really say we weren't losing games because of him, right? But nowhere did you ever see, and over Simmons' career, we saw that growth from him and becoming a lot more mature. And then, you know, Ward going up there and kind of facing that. And, like, again, on the surface, it looks like he's escaping the accountability. Is that and this is maybe a little bit more for Derek, but is that over time, could that creep into the locker room culture dynamic? And then also, too, just kind of on the back end of that, you know, is it likely that Ward is publicly not publicly escaping accountability in that way, or at least is how it seemed in that exchange? Or could he also do both? Publicly look like that, but also too behind closed doors, you know, be taking the accountability. Why do you think he did it? Maybe some psychosomatic or somatic kind of thing. But
now we're getting deep.
Jared, are you laying down on the couch?
I may be asking it probably not the best way. But that was just kind of some things that I thought, because again, maybe it is a mature thing. And like, look at Jeff being that example. But I love to hear your all's expertise, and I appreciate it, man. Tighten up.
Thank you, Jared.
Derek, before you answer this question, this to me is another thing that has happened. Mm-hmm. There's another question that has to do with one clip that because that's what the listeners, that's what the fans mm-hmm. have seen. They've only seen the clip of the exchange and the question, which wasn't a bad question at all, and not a bad answer at all. So that ought to tell you it wasn't about the question. I don't know how many times I have to say it, but it wasn't about the question. It's about everything leading up to the question. And conduct going on in general terms. But I see why people are fixated on the one clip that everybody's seen. That's not what it's about.
Help me Jared, we appreciate you using us as your sort of Tennessee Titans therapists. Okay? we do appreciate that. I pictured you laying on the couch talking to us, asking us that question. I'm trying to understand exactly what Jared from Spring Hill was asking about Cam Ward.
I understand. On one hand, he's saying, can Cam, you know, act as if he's not taking accountability or being perceived as if he's not taking accountability in the media, but behind closed doors in the meeting rooms, he is taking accountability. Mm-hmm. And again, this is only from my perspective, and others may have their own perspective. But I don't think that Cam has dodged not taking responsibility. You may not like his answer to the question, you know, especially the question that was asked the other day. I thought that he asked the question, and he turned it back around, and then he ended up answering it, and he gave his true assessment of how he feel he's doing. And there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't mean he's not being held accountable. I think that's what this whole thing it's been about with Cam and Daboll now, is holding one another accountable. And that's what Daboll has, you know, brought to this team, and hopefully he's brought to the team. This is what Jeffrey Simmons has talked about, holding one another accountable, you know, going out there and doing the job that you were tasked to do, doing the job that you have promised us you would do, go out there and give 100% and know what you're doing. I think the whole team holds each other accountable, but just because they're not a good team, that doesn't mean there's not accountability being held throughout the building. They're not as talented right now as some other teams. You know, you're not losing because you're not accountable. You're losing because you really don't have the talent right now, or the talent that you have is going to take some time developing. And maybe the fan base, their patience is sort of wearing thin at one particular position, and that's the quarterback.
I'll answer it this way. Not once have I thought that Cam Ward hasn't done a good job with general media relations. He's had the Tubi show about him. He was on the Netflix thing. It's not like he's ever skipped out on media responsibilities after games that they've gotten crushed and he hasn't played well. Midweek when he's talking, he's answered all the questions. He's been very accountable. And he has taken direct responsibility. Yeah. It's not like he's always saying, hey, our team's bad, but I'm playing well. He's never done anything like that. He's a young, struggling quarterback on a bad team. And quite honestly, as this whole scenario that we've been talking about illustrates, an organization that is not buttoned up and down, to say the least. I'll be kind about it, right? So he's in a terrible situation. I refer to the gasoline fire. That's Cam Ward. I admire how he is conducting himself in a gasoline fire. And just when you're trying to start it over, you're 0-0. You haven't lost a game yet. Haven't played a game yet. The Titans are sure doing a great job of keeping the gasoline fire from last year going.
I think there is this, I don't know the right word to use. I'm not sure if this is even a word to begin with. This ill-conceived notion out there that unless a player who is struggling falls on the proverbial sword, I am terrible. I am awful.
Yes.
I can't even look at myself in the mirror because of how poorly I played, that player isn't being accountable. I consume a lot of Cam Ward news conferences. He comes off as a young man who is polished, I would say, because he's been answering these questions. He's been doing this for a while. But I've never listened to a Cam Ward news conference and left it going, man, he just shirked all responsibility.
Not once.
The crazy part about it is that, you know, for those that are saying, well, he's not being held accountable, or he's not, you know, holding others accountable. These are the same people that just praised all over him when he said, we asked. They just was like, oh, my goodness, Cam, he said it, yes. He's holding everybody, including himself, accountable.
Because he did, in that answer,
exactly,
mention himself as part of the
absolutely
problem.
Absolutely, but it was
in that answer.
Exactly. So when you say he's not holding himself or the team accountable, then you are quickly forgetting that last year, you know, that this was the biggest story during the season was him, you know, classifying his team as we ass. That was the biggest story. Yay, Cam. He's holding everybody accountable. Now it's, oh, Cam don't want to be held accountable. Cam is not holding. Come on.
I don't want to pick on our friend, yes, Chad Withrow, who, again, will be on the show tomorrow at 4. We always enjoy our conversations with Chad. I saw a clip of him the other day talking about Cam Ward's accountability. And he was like, how about I ass? Not just we ass, I ass. And I think that's something that's been seized upon by Cam Ward's critics, that he's saying we as a team and not I as in me.
Has he not said both many times in many press conferences? If we're going to pick out one thing, I believe we could play the whole we ass thing. I'm 99% sure he said in the midst of that full answer, which was not one sentence.
Yeah.
He went on to explain. He put himself on
because
the list.
Somebody did.
And by the way, the whole team, meaning we, his team,
us,
they were bad.
Yes.
He wasn't just Cam. It was everybody.
Yeah.
He is accountable. That is the least of his problems.
Yes.
They've got he's got a lot of other things that are going to determine whether he ends up being a winning quarterback in this town for this team. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of things, and we have talked about it a lot. We're going to continue. How he handles the media and his accountability is not one of the problems.
615-737-1025. We see your phones. We see your texts. Hold on. We'll get to you coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.